Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh yeah. Oh, oh. Oh yeah. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowe, in a group coming to you live, live from the mountains of Virginia. Somewhere in India. We rolling though. We live and in color. Y'all come on with me now. Here we go. Let's go. Oh yeah. There's no better love.
That's what I got.
That's what I got. Oh yeah. No better love. Welcome, welcome, welcome. There's no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome to the show. It's the Empowerment Hour. It's African-American empowerment. We're talking about empowerment for our people because we need it, and y'all know we do. All you got to do is look at us and how we act. We don't know who we are sometimes, and when we do know, we act like we don't know. I'm just saying we all need to grow together because if one don't have it, listen, let me tell you like this, right? We came over, believe it or not, most of us who have a African ancestry came over on these ships together. We didn't know each other and we didn't have a common language, but we had to learn how to adapt and to adjust to this American system, the ways in which we had to learn to become Americanized, if you want to say it that way. All I'm saying is that we need a collective consciousness, right? A coalescence, right? An allegiance to one another, supporting each other through challenging and trying times as we continue to adapt to this culture and this society. This is the truth, right? Whether you want to know it or not, the system that we live in is functioning under racism. It just is, right? Go out on Netflix and look at the show on the 14th Amendment. It'll tell you about how your Supreme Court acted, right? And so if you have a just system, the laws should carry the nation, but not in this case. Right. And so we have to do a better job of being able to understand how to navigate this American system and the ways in which it works. So we'll go with the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association. That mission is to empower, right, and ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that inspire, motivate, and empower us, you, me, us together, right? We will collaborate and partner with partnering organizations, specifically HBCUs, to create a foundation of culture and community wherever we exist. That's what we want to do. We want to partnerships and collaborations to help us in these five critical areas. You say, what are those five critical areas, Marvin Rowe? I say the politics. It's the peace concept. It's five critical concepts in which we must learn in order to navigate and adapt to the system where we can live and grow effectively. Number one, politics. A political agenda, right? Working together collectively. Politics, working and understanding the political system, the system of politics in America and how it works, right? That system of politics can help us how the rules and regulations work, how to stay within the boundaries of the law, and then how to do our best to have a political voice wherever we live. Understand the politics and to understand the politics in your community, then things get better. Things work. You have to understand how to navigate the system through the laws inside of the system because that's how things work. Next is economics. It's the economic system that we're working in. You got to learn how to manage this money out here. You can't be spending up everything you got. You got to learn how to invest. You got to learn how to understand the financial system, how to invest, how to save, and try to develop generational wealth. That's what you must do. A, athletics. It's real simple. Health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your mind and your body. That's your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health, and your spiritual health because you're one person, a complete total being, and you got to take care of all aspects of self. Next, it's education. No, culture. Come on, Marvin Rowe. Culture. You got to have relevant cultural programs to help guide us, right? Parenting. We need it, desperately need better parents. We do, mothers and fathers or partners, however you want to work it. We got to work together to make sure that we are teaching and training and developing our young people to become confident in who they are, chin up, chest out, right? proud and positive, not arrogant, but just great, great, great human beings. And lastly, is education. It's a comprehensive education that will allow us to be our best selves. That's what we have to do. We have to become the best that we can be. And all you have to do is begin to do the work of starting with yourself, working on yourself and become the best person that you can be. Those are the tenets of the NAAEA. Go out to our website, www.naaea, and join the mission. It's a mission of empowerment for African American brothers and sisters and children, family working together to coalesce. Today's theme is, again, what happened to our village, part two, right? But first, we're going over to our Stan Macklin moment.
But we must unify. And don't, let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's exactly right. Stan is right. He is so right. We got to continue to work together to do the best that we can to continue to commit to developing ourselves. And that's the only way we're going to do it. We have to be able to do a better job of working together. I'm going over to Brother George in just a second. But again, go out and join the NAAEA. Nothing hard to it. No membership fees, no dues, no nothing. Just your commitment to changing the lives and impacting our young people, our families, to become the best that we can be. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why we can't just be the best that we can be with all of the afflictions that we had to face in this country and still do at some point? Why can't we come together and unify as we continue to manage our situation here, become the best that we can be? I'm going over to Brother George. You know I have to bring you in, right? So here we go with Brother George. Again, y'all, I'm on the road today, so if you have still, you know, some music or some sounds or some bumping, that's because I'm traveling through this earth. Here we go, Brother George, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa segment. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thought you was gonna bring me in.
Welcome, brother.
That's all right. I'm good.
With me today.
Yes, sir. Well, I thank you for giving me the time once again, you know, to do what I do. And today's Kwanzaa principle is going to be Redeemer.
Bring it! What? Right here.
All right. So today's Kwanzaa principle is going to be UJIMA, collective work and responsibility, to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together. Now, I'm going to read out of a book today that was it was a course that was put together by Marcus Garvey, and it's out of his course selection, Message to the People, the Course of African Philosophy. And I'm going to be reading out of this segment called The Purpose of Institutions. Organized society is always a mass of people, and as such, cannot do anything explicit or be detailed by themselves. Hence, the organizing of institutions to do the particular work that cannot be done by the masses as a whole. there are different kinds of institutions in a society, but each institution has its particular function, whether it be church, college, or university, school, hospital, academy, chamber of commerce, fraternity, trade union, literacy club, sports club, athletic club, gymnasium, YMCA or YWCA, etc. In our present civilization, no society would be considered functioning properly if such institutions did not exist. Therefore, it is necessary for the Negro to pay close attention to developing the appreciation for institutional life. Now, you have to understand that Marcus Garvey was back during the 20s and 30s, and so we were still calling ourselves Negroes at that time. It is not necessary or binding that he copies completely the system, methods, or manners of these institutions, except insofar as they would go to help him in promote a higher life and in accomplishing the most out of this organized society. It is incumbent upon him that he also have a control on his own institution based upon his own cultural and civilized idealism. As for instance, he may have his own church, but it is necessary for him to adopt the peculiar articles of faith of the churches of alien races. It is not necessary for him to adopt churches of other alien races. Now, I brought that up because I think that that's another issue that we have. One, I don't think we have enough institutions to fill the needs of different people. Some people are revolutionary. Some people are accommodationists. Some people are integrationalists. And some of us are black nationalists. Now, Marcus Garvey was one of the black nationalists. That time period was a time period of most of the prominent black nationalists that we know of today, the Nation of Islam, the Moorish Science Temple, and Marcus Garvey's movement, and the Universal Negro Improvement Association. Now, the thing about institutions that I think has us thinking that we don't stick together, I think in a way we do stick together because we talk about the same issues that we have as a people. But when you have an institution, you have each member has like an accepted role. And so you don't find us debating over, you know, how the organization should be and all of that. That's for the board that puts it together from the very beginning. But sometimes we start working together, but we're not really organized. We haven't really institutionalized what it is that we're doing. And it causes us to get into conflict with one another over who should be in charge and this and that, whose ideas that. When you have an institution, all of that's already defined. And I think that that's something that we should closely look at. Also, I think that it should be recognized that Marcus Garvey had that type of intelligence back during the 20s and 30s to put together, you know, a course for all of his membership to teach us how to deal with a lot of different issues that go on in the community from a professional manner. And so I wanted to just speak on that, brother, and back to you.
Thank you, Brother George. Before you go, tell us what's most important about these organizations and why organizations like Brother the great Marcus Garvey is important to our people.
Well, the reason why it's important is because it defines what different people's roles are. When you have an institution, you accept your role. Like, for example, when you join the nation, you join the nation and you're in the beginning, you're a foot soldier. You're an FOI. And as you work your way, you work your way up to a squad leader. Then you work your way up to a brother lieutenant. And then you work your way up to brother captain. Then you work your way up to brother minister. It's like, and in each one of those roles, it's things that are expected of you, and it's not expected of you to challenge what your role is not. So it puts you in a position where if I accept my role, then I focus on doing my role the best that I can. And if black folks operate like that, it ain't nothing that we can accomplish.
Thank you so much, Brother George. I appreciate that. Again, the brother is bad. And think about this. What he's reading from this material, it's education, right? Go back and research the information for yourself, right? Get a good, clear understanding of what and why he's reading. Again, thank you, Brother George. I'm coming back to you a little bit later on. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. All right, sir. Brother George is bad. First, giving all praise and honor to Marcus Garvey, the great Marcus Garvey, who organized, go research him, organized our people and our communities to work together. Another one is the great Elijah Muhammad. Right? As much as our communities don't recognize the work of these great men, they help to bring unity in our communities. And the work still continues. But we need you to make a commitment to have better families, better households, better communities, and a better self. You have to work on your own self first. And then let's get to work on some other stuff. But it starts with you. We need better values. We do. We need to value each other first. We need to love each other. We need to love ourselves. And we need a collective consciousness, right? We need to solve our own problems, right? You need to solve the problems going within yourself, but also the problems that we face together. How do we do that? Collective work and responsibility. And we have to do that. We have to be responsible for one another. But again, you got to start with your family first. Teaching the values that you need, of family and community first, right? And then continue to work our way out. We need clubs and organizations and associations that inspire, motivate, and empower our people, young and old, to get better, right? In support of one another, dedicated and committed to our development. That's what it's all about, because we need each other. We need each other so much right now. We really do. And the only way that we're going to solve our problems is to educate ourselves and continue to develop ourselves, mind, body, and spirit. There's a truth that lies within all of us about who we can potentially be if we do the work. Do we have the confidence in ourselves that we were born to come to this earth to excel, to be great? Not to be a second-class citizen, not to be a Negro or a nigga, somebody that's negative, but somebody that's very positive, somebody who's fruitful, who's loving, who's kind. Can you be that person? And can you continue to pour in to your young people, to your family, and to your community? That's what we need. We need love for self. We need love for a community. I'm going over to the laws of my act, and then I'm going to the lines. Hang on with me. Thank you.
The 42 Laws of Ma'at. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of my lot.
This try I want to emphasize, right? Those laws are so powerful because they tell you how to live. If we will continue to work those laws, just simple practices and principles of how we should live and treat each other. It's simple things. All you have to do is apply that. We're going to the lines now. The theme again today is what happened to our village. We're going to do part two. So the lines coming up on the lines. I'm going to 1683. You're up on the Empowerment Hour. Are you there?
Yes, sir, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the show, brother.
Yes, sir. Peace, my brother. I'm like you.
Peace,
I'm on
blessings
the road.
To you.
I'm driving, so might be coming in and going in and out.
All right.
Just wanna
We're going to make it happen.
You know, yes, sir. You know, I always say that one definition of the word fool is an entertainer, okay? Another definition of the word fool, or an acceptable definition of the word fool, is one who continues to do the same thing over and over again while expecting different results. Okay? Now, based on both of those definitions, I'm a fool. I'm an entertainer. I've been an entertainer all my life, and I'm doing the same thing over and over again. Based on that over and over again while expecting different results. That's us as a people. We do the same things over and over again while expecting different results. Continuously. Everything over and over, doing the same thing, expecting different results. We protest, we vote, we picket, we riot, you know, we get drunk on the weekends, we go to church on Sundays, we do the same things all the time and expect different results. That's a fool. We foolish people, okay? And hold on 1 second, brother. If you want to, you can go to another line and come back to me because I got to do something, all right?
So all right, you
I'll
go right ahead.
All right.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, this is that kind of show. This is a community show. You never know what's going to happen on this one. So we're going to keep going, but the brother was making a good point about something, and that is we have to do a better job of correcting ourselves. It's correction for direction. Correction for direction. Again, what happened to the village? What happened to those basic values, right, of community? I know we all spread it out, but how can, again, we make the adjustments as we continue to move into integration, right? We're moving it more and more into the modern society, into technology, and how we're going to be able to use those tools to enhance ourselves, to enhance the quality of life for all African Americans, not one, not two, not three, but all of our people should enjoy the right to prosperity. We should, and it's up to us to continue to work collectively to get that across. So I'm going back to the lines now. I'm going back to I'm going to 0946. 0946, bringing you in righteously. Here we go. Zero, nine, four, six.
Hello?
Are you there? Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Oh,
good
God.
To be on the show. It's
oh,
been
my
a long
goodness.
Time no here.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I am surprised. This is a surprise call. Hey, how are you?
Everything is going great. Everything is going great. And I just wanted to comment on the village. And I think that one of the things that is finding a place of gratitude to work from, because as Black people in this global world, the gratitude that I have for being in the United States, it's not perfect, but we have some processes here that give you the opportunity to manage your life and live your life exactly the way you want it. Nobody is pigeon-toeing you, telling you what to believe, how to believe, when to believe. You basically have an opportunity to live to the tenets that you believe in. And I think sometimes as Black Americans, we get crossed up on that. We get kind of caught up sometimes in all the negative and not focusing on the positives and focusing on the opportunities that we do have versus focusing on what's going wrong, what's not working, what's not, you know, that sort of thing. So I would just encourage us to work from a place of gratitude, because literally in this country you can do whatever it is you want to do, even if you don't have all the resources. I mean, we have the internet, we have YouTube, we have all kind of social media platforms to assist you. Now, you of course, with the positive, you have the negative. But within all of that, there is some positive stuff. It just depends on what your focus is. So I think that if we could be grateful, like I tell people all the time, without our Constitution, we're probably the only country in the world where you can burn the flag, talk against your government, don't believe in your government, you don't have to, and live to tell the story. There's not a lot of places that allow you an opportunity to do that. So I think if we can focus in on what we do have to work with and move from a position of strength and positivity, there's a lot of things that can happen alone in that shift. And that is not saying that we're not being pragmatic and that we're ignoring some of the negative things that are happening, but it's just like a relationship. You know, you have some people that say, oh, well, I don't like monogamy, I don't want to be with the same person, blah, 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 and they point all the negative, if they do have that negative point of view about monogamy. And then you have people that talk about monogamy and say, well, you know, I'm willing to give up some of that because of the benefits of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And so I think that if we just kind of look at the negative and say, well, we don't have control of this and we can't do this and this is against us and that's against us and that's against us, opposed to we live in a country today that gives you the opportunity to control your own agency about your life, and that if you're willing to put in the time and the work and the effort, then nothing's impossible. So I just want to encourage us that our village is what we make it. It's all about what we make it. If we come from a position or a deficit, then we will work from that deficit. If we come from a place of strength, then we will work from that strength. It does not ignore, like I said, the negativity, but it doesn't ignore the positivity also. So that's all I like to say, is let us concentrate on gratitude and working from a place of strength.
All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. I don't know how we doing it, but we doing it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Let's continue to work to get in a great place of strength. And thank you for calling. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother George, are you there? Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to need you today because I keep hitting some hot spots, but we're going to try to keep it live as long as we can. Thank you for calling, sister. I appreciate you. All right. let's continue to move on. I'm going over to 9116. 9116. Let me see if I can bring you in right. It's a whole lot going on this line, but we're going to try to keep it real. Here we go. All right.
Bring it. What?
Uh-huh. 9116, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm making it. I'm making it. We're making it happen over this way. What you got for me? What happened to the village?
It created all these different subcultures. I'm going back to the subculture that were more attractive than being black to some people that's not positively black. When I say that, I want to say like sports, entertainment. And nothing wrong with those things, but like I said, you got to put black first. And all these different subcultures kind of replaced the pride of being black. When you can go and make millions of dollars and leave your brothers and sisters in your community behind and not have to worry about the struggle. It's been created on a higher level, producing more people who are not invested in being black and investing in the communities, right? All these different subcultures can be beneficial to us if only we just stay true to our blackness, right?
I like that. I like that.
So I really do feel like that's one thing that was detrimental to us. These different flashy, glittery, financially gaining subcultures that snatched us from each other. And then we fighting for those positions as well because they're slim. They're not lots of them, so we're fighting for that. And then I wanted to touch on Brother George speaking on the Honorable Marcus Garvey. One speech that comes to mind is when he talked about, he was speaking vigorously, right, about his efforts. And I feel like a man or a leader or somebody who's really invested in the people can do that if they know they have what Marcus Garvey called, he had cubs in the fold, what he was describing as kids or youth that he know is coming behind him with the same or more effort, and systematically set up that way. To know that you got a system of kids coming right behind you or younger people coming behind you, you can fight vigorously and say what you want to say. You can just go up against whatever without any refrain, knowing that you have somebody just as powerful as you going to push the same agenda. So I think that's important, too, to get us back to a community base, showing the kids that it's beneficial to be black. You don't have to go be a drug dealer. And if you don't make it to the NBA, it's okay. If you don't become one of these subcultures that grabs you so much, it's okay to come back to the community and help. You know, we got to create some type of successful view of not just the entertainers and the drug dealers. And that's my piece for today.
Thank you, brother. You're exactly right. Absolutely right. I appreciate your perspective and your standpoint.
Sir, you.
So much knowledge. You keep kicking it, brother. Keep kicking. I appreciate you calling. I'm going to try to come back to you one more time before we get out of here. So
thank
the
you.
Question is, what happened to the village? Appreciate you, brother. And so we have to think about all of these different aspects, right? Like the brother just said, there are so many different subcultures that we can dive into where we can kind of just meld in and just become invisible, right? Because sometimes I think we try to hide our culture and we try to hide our color. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Right? Be whoever you want to be in this country, in this world. But be your best self, right? Be the best reflection and the best example you can be. I'm going to go over to Brother George. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Brother George, can you just give us a little bit that you know on Marcus Garvey? Just bring our audience up to speed on what you know about Marcus Garvey and his contributions to our culture, society, and community?
Well, what I know of Marcus Garvey is that, one, he went through a lot of struggles to get to the position amongst our people that he did. He had a lot of struggles with W.E.B. Du Bois, which I'm not siding with either side, because I know that all of those things were set up by the enemy of our people to stop us from making progress. So I'm not mentioning things to make it as though like W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, just didn't do anything, because it was mainly that they were interested in getting a particular philosophy across. And W.E.B. Du Bois' philosophy was more of an integrationalist type philosophy. He wanted to get in with the overall culture. He wanted our people to be college educated, you know, as a profession rather than the trade, with Booker T. Washington, who wanted us to mainly be tradesmen. And Marcus Garvey was somewhere in the middle, because he wanted us to be professionals and he also wanted us to be tradesmen, either one, whichever one suited you the best. But he put together a program that was effective enough that he had, in the history of our people in this country, Marcus Garvey had the largest movement amongst our people. He had like 3 million followers or maybe more. And none of the other organizations really had that many of our people. If you look at our people at that time, it's like 30 to 35 million. And if you got 3 million, that means you got close to 10% of the black population was a part of Marcus Garvey's movement. And it primarily was because he was very organized. And he did some things, like he set up a police force that was in Harlem, so uniformed police, so that we could police our own community. And that, to me, was a great accomplishment, because when you police in your own community, you're not going to be killing your kids because they pull out a little plastic gun or something, you know, or because they stole the apple from the grocery store. You know, when you are policing your own community, one, you're going to be talking to community, you're going to know people in the community, and it's just a whole nother dynamic that Marcus Garvey set up. He also had his own book on his own philosophy. He was many things. He was like a multi-genius. And one of the things that he did, he was a philosopher. He could talk to our people and tell us different things. You know, like one of my favorites. Of his philosophies was, if you have no self-confidence, you are twice defeated in the race of life. But with confidence, you have won even before the battle begins. And I think that is true. I believe that with all my heart, that's true. And I believe that, you know, once again, our people, we have to begin to start believing in ourselves, you know, to improve our self-esteem, and we need to believe in others. I mean, when I listen to the brother and the sister that spoke earlier, they are exactly right, and those type of minds are the type of minds that we need to lead us to put the village together, because that's what the village is. The village is those minds that have been absent. Brothers and sisters that speak it just like that, that know exactly what the issues are with our people. And almost, it sounds like sometimes you're speaking and it's almost like apologetically speaking. I'm telling you, you don't have to speak apologetically about what our people need, because you were right on point with what y'all said today. And I was thoroughly impressed by what was said by really by all three. I didn't count Brother Booker at that time, but even with Brother Booker's statement, you know, like the definition of crazy is when you do the same old thing and you think you're going to get a different result. You know, it's like, no, if you want a different result, you got to do something different. And so I'm saying, like, all we have to do is do something different. And the different thing is what we haven't been doing lately. And I say that to say this, that we as African Americans, I like to call us Moors. And if you study our history, you'll find that to be correct, that we've been disconnected from our historical continuity, meaning that we got on a course that took us off of our normal way of doing things. And that course was the enslavement period, the Great Miapa. And it took us off the course that we were on as a people. We were a very accomplished people. And I think that just like Dr. Amos Wilson said, he said that he kind of wished that we were the people that weren't blessed with so many things, like we were in the warm weather, we had fruits and vegetables, we had plenty, we had gold, silver, we had all of the different material wealth, and we were blessed with this. And so when the other races visited Africa, we welcomed them and we shared what we had with them. But because they lacked what we had, they made their minds up that they were going to take what we had. And see, we didn't have that type of mindset that we had to take anything from anybody else, because we already had everything on the African continent. We had everything. We weren't poor. You know, I don't know exactly which academics of black intelligentsia that said it, but he said that that man, I'm going to move on to a different point, but basically in Africa we had everything that we needed. We had civilization. I know what it was. If it wasn't for the fact that we had melanin, we couldn't have came up with all of the different sciences and mathematics. It was that melanin that was in us that gave us the creative ability to do what we did with those different sciences and just go, you know, create geography from nothing. I think that sometimes people don't think about, we put those systems together from nothing. When you talk about mathematical science, we put it together from nothing. All of them, from nothing. And we built those pyramids, built the structure from nothing. We came up with the first ideas of making bricks. And that's where the term masonry really comes from. It comes from the two instruments that you use to make a brick. And a lot of people, our people have no idea that we accomplished so much, that we looked at our society and seen that women weren't as strong as most men. And so we set up a society where they could be protected so that men couldn't just come along and just rape them at will to make them feel humiliated. We had to deal with all of those emotions and different things to put together what you call governmental structure today, what you call a legal system with laws and these different things. But I didn't ram my mouth long enough. Back to you, brother.
That's all right, brother. I appreciate that, because we need it, right? That's what education is all about. And that is exactly what we need. We need it so much, right? And we need people like you. We need committed people who are willing to share, who are willing to talk, willing to educate, right? And incorporate ideas, right? A new perspective, a fresh perspective, and has to learn that has done the research over a period of time, right? And so I just want to thank you. Sure. Continue to do the work. I'm getting ready to go back to the lines again. I'm going back to 9116, and then I'm going to 1683 to see if you're ready. Here we go. Go. Six live on Empowerment Hour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for this platform again, too, brother. Thank you for this platform again.
You're welcome.
I'm starting to look forward to it now. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it more and more.
It's your show.
But Brother George, he always sparks something good in my mind, right? So Marcus Garvey, he showed a lot of power, and I want to talk on or speak on the importance of interpersonal skills and how a big piece of interpersonal skills is displaying imagery through, like power through imagery, right? And Marcus Garvey was one of the first to create this military unit with females within it. Like Brother George said, we dealing with all these rapes and all these different things, these weaknesses, you might want to call them. Not saying females are weak, but physically, when you're dealing with battle. So he created this unit of female soldiers. And he was the first. So such a great man that other military units studied this guy. But I also want to speak on further into the interpersonal skills on how our oppressors or our opposition, they utilize these skills to the core. So when you think about interpersonal skills, how they intimidate through, say, a judge sitting on high, almost as if he's sitting on a mountain and looking down at you. Things of this manner, they're just a slight example. But that's something we have to use, too, to insert these powerful images. Like Marcus Garvey, he'd have these big parades, you know, to display power, getting back to showing our kids some type of power and success, not just
like
the imagery of these big
like
commercials,
that.
You know, how they do the big imagery of sports commercials and the big powerful images of LeBron dunking the basketball. He's looking like the best thing going, the strongest thing going. The imagery is a part of the interpersonal part that pulls you in. Marcus Garvey knew that. So he had these powerful pieces, powerful parades showing imagery with the feathers and all these beautiful garments showing the youth power. That's something that our oppressors do still to this day to curb our ambitions or our goals or our whatever the case may be. So that's something we have to study and apply as well to display power. Like, 'cause if you... That's what had me as a youth. I'm gonna give it up right after this. I moved to Southside. I would have been great.
Take your time, bro.
I'm great at anything I do.
Take your time.
But I moved to Southside and I saw the most powerful guys were the drug dealers. Me being a powerful man, I wanted to be powerful too. If I would have saw these same guys in a powerful state of maybe a doctor, lawyer, engineer, in the communities moving around powerfully, I would have gravitated towards that. So, back to my point, we have to do powerful, successful ventures to show these youth power through these interpersonal skills. Interpersonal communication is like 80% nonverbal. So we don't have to say much, but if we show them, they'll come. So, thank you, and I'm done.
Man, I like that, brother. I like that, brother. I like it. Right? Talking about imagery, right? Showing our people what they need to see in order to see the best in ourselves. What images are we displaying to our children, to our young people? particularly our adolescents who are in the shaping stage, right, as they continue to emerge into adulthood, what are we giving them as examples, right? What outlets are we giving them, right, that they can actually think about this, right? When you think about what, I'm just talking about mainstream culture, mainstream African-American culture, what activities do we have across the board that teach, train, and develop our young people, our teens, to prepare for adulthood? All right, that's the question. And again, what happened to our village? We're doing part two of that. I'm going over to 1683. 1683, if you ready, I'm gone. Are you there?
Yes, sir, my brother. I just want to tie back into what I was talking about earlier, the food.
All right.
Just continuously doing the same thing over and over again. Thank you, brother. While expecting different results. And something you said a couple of weeks ago, brother, that we really need to understand. You said we lost the war, okay? And that being the case, the winner of every war gets two things that are vital from the loser. The two things he gets is the loser's land and his woman. Okay? Think of that. His land and his woman. His
All right.
woman begins to assimilate the winner. His woman begins to take on the characteristics of the winner. His woman names his children after the winner. His woman speaks the winner's language. His woman does what the winner wants her to do. She changes her hair. She changes her eyes. She puts on makeup. She puts on style because she's now the woman of the winner of the war. And there's no such thing as a slave who's a husband. There's no such thing as a slave who's a father. You can't be a father and be a slave. You can't be a husband and be a slave. As you said, we lost the war, brother. So we lost our woman. We've got work to do, brother. And we got to stop doing foolish things. We got to stop doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. It's not going to happen. We've got to really focus on ourselves. We got to get ourselves back as men, then we got to get our women back. We've got to give our women something to aspire to and look up to and say, that's my man again. Because right now, we're not her man. She's the winner of that war, man. Because we lost, as you said, brother. We lost. And as I said the other night, we have a lot of work to do, my brother. We have lots of work to do. And we need to stop doing the same things over and over and over, expecting different results. We're about ready to, in a couple of days, say Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year. And start doing the same thing over and over again for another new year. That really ain't new. It's the same old crap over and over again.
Well, what are some things we need to do? What are some things that we need to do as we continue to heal our village and repair and get into restoration?
As I said, the first thing we need to do is be honest with ourselves and admit these things. Because then that will guide the action that we realize that we will have to take. It's being honest with ourselves. We talk about the impossible dream. Think about it. The impossible dream is we won't come together as a people. Never come together as a people. It's impossible. We won't do it. I've heard that many times. We will never. The things I want folks to say, book will never happen. We will never come together as a people. We need to start there. We need to start there. Because if we can't come together as a people, we're doomed. We're going to be extinct. The whole thing is predicated on us coming together as a people. And a way to start is, as you mentioned earlier, is work on ourselves. You as an individual. Back to old school again. Be the one.
All right. Speaking of being the one, can you go over those qualities and characteristics of being the one before you go, brother?
Well, the number one is be honest with yourself. Love yourself. Stand by what's right. Be the one, even if you're the only one doing it. Okay? If you have to do it, go do it.
All right. Was that it, brother?
I lost you.
Okay. I'm good. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I have to give you the rest of them a little later when I get it because I'm going in and out.
Okay.
I'm be coming
that,
in and out.
That will work.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Peace.
All right. Peace. All right. So we're going to end up right in just a minute, but thank you all for listening. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your support today, Brother George. We had some technical difficulties that we worked through, so I'm gonna call you in, Brother George. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, I thank you for your support. So I'm gonna try to end this up with you today, and you know, you spoke on talking about being a person or a man of your word, a woman of your word, right? So I'm going to let you close out with just a few words on that, and then we're going to get out of here. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. I always have been a strong believer since I was a teen. And it actually was a price that you had to pay when you said you was going to do something and you didn't do it. And in Philadelphia, we used to call it the kangaroo court. And so after you go through the kangaroo court one time for not keeping your word with something, then you learn, especially when you're mostly smaller than anybody else, then, you know, pretty much the smaller guys, you're going to pay for what you say you're going to do and you're not doing. So it stuck with me into adulthood. And so basically, it was the same principle with the nation. They wasn't going to beat you up or anything, but it made you feel like less than a man when you say you're going to do something and then you end up not doing it. And so the term, my word is my bond, has stuck with me, and no matter what, I'm going to try to keep my word, because I also historically that as black man is forced, when we said something, it was fine. You know, it was word. It was not like anybody questioned what you said wasn't going to get done. We were very productive and honorable people at that time. But, you know, recently, you know, like being enslaved, that was taken away from us, because you can't, it's hard for you to keep your word when you're enslaved to someone else who can come and, you know, take your woman and do what they want, sell your kids and different things like that. And so today I say that if we say something, that we should do all in our power to keep our word. And when you say something, your word is like an individual statement. It's coming directly from you. So it has nothing to do with whether someone else keeps their word, because that's not, you don't have control over that. You have control over you keeping your word. And I think that if we can start the institutions, if we can reestablish ourselves that our word is good, I think we can win our women back. But
to reach the unreachable.
Thank you, Brother George, and I thank y'all for listening. Oh, yeah, oh, oh, oh.